Radio Prague News.
A multipartisan group of MPs has issued an open letter warning against the recognition of Palestine as a UN member state. The Council of Higher Education Institutions has rejected the introduction of tuition fees as planned by the coalition government. And Social Democrat Chairman Bohuslav Sobotka has accused the coalition of carrying on the corrupt practices of the previous government. A multipartisan group of MPs has issued an open letter warning against the recognition of Palestine as a UN member state. More than 80 Czech parliamentarians from all three coalition parties put their names to the letter, as did certain Social Democrats, many of whose other members have supported the Palestinian bid. The letter urges the Czech UN delegation to come out against the motion, arguing that the premature declaration of Palestinian statehood would hurt the peace process and upset the integrity of the UN. It also calls for the speedy resumption of negotiations between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. The Council of Higher Education Institutions has rejected the introduction of tuition fees planned by the coalition government. The Council stated that tuition fees had skyrocketed shortly after their introduction in other countries, causing young people serious debts. Meanwhile, they said the quality of schools in such countries had not improved accordingly. The academics at Thursday's special meeting of the Council also criticized a legislative proposal under which schools would be subordinate to the Ministry of Finance in their economic activities. The introduction of tuition fees is one of the plans in the government's coalition agreement and is planned for 2013. The planned fee is currently 10,000 crowns per semester. Social Democratic Party Chairman Bohuslav Sobotka has accused the coalition of carrying on the corrupt practices of the previous elected government. Speaking at the start of an extraordinary session of parliament, at which the Social Democrats want to discuss various government scandals, Mr. Sobotka said that the current coalition reeked of the remains of former Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek's government, which he said had seen the greatest ever increase in corruption. The words came in response to the coalition's unwillingness to table the affairs at the session on the grounds that they should be investigated by the authorities and not by politicians. Mr. Sobotka also took the opportunity on Thursday to demand the resignation of Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek for slapping a young man who had insulted him. Sobotka said that government ministers who smack citizens on the street do not belong in politics. The finance minister, for his part, admitted to repeatedly striking the 20-year-old, who had called him a thief and said he would hang. Prime Minister Nečas said that he would discuss the incident with Mr. Kalousek when he returns from the United States. The situation marked the second time an MP has been involved in a physical altercation with a member of the public in the last month. At the end of August, Public Affairs MP Michal Babak lost two teeth in a bar fight that he reportedly started. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be partly cloudy, with daytime temperatures between 17 and 21 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Czech government has approved the 2012 draft budget amidst concerns over a revised economic growth forecast. We look at the government measures to fight social exclusion, and today's Panorama will report on a new play about the problems of ethnic coexistence. We'll end the show, as usual, with a Czech lesson. All that coming your way, so do please stay with us. The Czech coalition government on Wednesday approved the 2012 draft budget with one priority in mind, fulfilling its promise to bring the country's public finance deficit under control. The projected deficit of 105 billion crowns fulfills that target. It would narrow the gap in public finances to 3.5% of the GDP, but analysts say that the latest growth predictions for the Czech economy in 2012 will certainly throw a spanner in the works. In its present form, the draft budget was tailored to a growth of 2.5%. The IMF's revised figure is 1.8%, and analysts say it could slide even lower should Europe's leading economies slip into recession and pull the export-oriented Czech economy down with them. Despite the negative forecast, the Cabinet decided to push ahead with a draft budget in its present form and deal with the consequences later, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek.
This budget was drafted on the basis of July's economic growth forecast, and we are not ruling out revisions and further cuts if, similarly as in 2008, the economy slows. We will be preparing a number of crisis scenarios which may or may not be used.
While the government can be fairly confident in its ability to push the 2012 draft budget through Parliament, wielding a comfortable majority in the lower house, analysts say its troubles with a budget are far from over. Raiffeisen Bank's chief economist, former finance minister Pavel Mertlík, had this to say.
The government is obliged to deliver a new budget by the end of September to the Parliament, so I understand that they are in time pressure. But definitely the budget is not realistic. The tax revenues are much higher than what will be the reality, not also because of the growth is projected to 2.5%, but also, for example, the consumer consumption growth is projected to 2%, which is totally unrealistic if we take into account that the VAT for food and some other basic stuff will increase from 10 to 14%. So this will be for sure negative, and the inflow of revenues from VAT and excise taxes will be lower by several billion Czech crowns, maybe up to 20 billion Czech crowns.
How serious a problem will this present? What are the implications?
Well, there are various political ways how to solve it. For example, in the parliament, the government can come with some amended budget in different structure. But in any case, from economic point of view, the consequence will be that the government will have to significantly cut some public expenditures which are projected in the budget in order to meet the fiscal target.
Raiffeisen Bank's chief economist Pavel Mertlík there commenting on the government's draft budget for 2012. Now, amid social and ethnic unrest in parts of the country, especially in the north, caused by growing tension between the majority population and the Romani minority, the Czech government on Wednesday adopted a strategy to combat the social exclusion of Romanis. Over the next 4 years, it plans to spend up to 15 billion crowns on a series of measures ranging from fighting crime to improving the education of Romani children. Jan Richter has the story.
The document adopted by the Czech centre-right government on Wednesday is the first comprehensive strategy on how to improve the living conditions for a large part of the country's 250,000 strong Romani minority. According to various estimates, around 100,000 Romanis are now living in up to 400 socially and economically isolated areas, often referred to as ghettos. In the light of the worsening situation in northern Bohemia and other parts of the country where people have taken to the streets to protest against problems with impoverished Romanis, the government now proposes measures aimed at reversing the trend that has seen a deterioration in the Romani minority's living conditions over the last 2 decades. The most significant steps proposed by the government include a crackdown on crime in those areas through closer cooperation between the local authorities and the police, fighting off usury that is rampant in those communities, and fighting hate crime. The government would also like to establish more low-threshold accommodation facilities and help their clients to move on to regular housing. Social and welfare benefits, the only source of legal income for a majority of Romanis living in the problem areas, should be handed out in return for community service, and provided the recipient's children regularly attend school. To fight unemployment that reaches up to 100% in the socially excluded areas, the government wants to invest in creating jobs accessible for people with limited or no work experience, introduce flexible employment on an hourly basis, and support job creators in these areas. At long last, the government followed the recommendations of Czech and foreign experts alike and now wants to end the practice of placing a disproportionately high number of Romani children in special schools. These schools should only serve children with severe learning disabilities, while socially handicapped children should be included in regular schools with increased support by teaching assistants. Zdeněk Ryšavý is the head of a leading Czech-Romani advocacy group Romea. He welcomes the new strategy but says we'll yet have to wait for its practical outcome.
I think this is, in fact, the first material outlining measures to be adopted to improve the situation of these people. It also gives estimates of how much these measures will cost, and it says that these investments will pay off. But what I'm concerned about is how many of these measures will eventually be put into practice.
The series of around 100 measures proposed in the new strategy, including a number of changes to the legislation, should be implemented by the year 2015. The document estimates their annual cost at around 15 billion crowns.
Jan Richter with that report. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for a fresh edition of Panorama. The trailer there to an unexpectedly topical theatre performance that premiered in Prague's National Theatre on Wednesday night. My Neighbour, My Enemy reflects on the problematic coexistence between ethnic Czechs and the Romani minority and tries to get to the roots of existing hostilities. It is part of the international theatre project Emergency Entrance, sponsored by the EU, and its cast is a mix of professional actors from the National Theatre Ensemble and amateur actors from the ranks of the Romani minority. One of the latter is Vojtěch Lavička, a violinist from the popular Romani group Gypsy.cz. He explains what the play is all about.
It's hard to define it properly. I'd say it is a serious cabaret of sorts. There is a quarrel, a fight, laughter and tears. There's a bit of everything. The only thing I cannot promise you is a happy end. We are trying to be as realistic as possible. This is more like a documentary or political theatre performance, so there is no happy end.
Paradoxically, one of the National Theatre actors in the play, David Matásek, once performed in the controversial band Orlík, whose racist lyrics are a far cry from his present role. Vojtěch Lavička says he's happy to let bygones be bygones.
For me it's not a problem, and neither is it for him, I think. That was 20 years ago, and we all have things in our past that we are not particularly proud of. So I haven't pressed him about this or referred to it. I think that even back then, the boys didn't really stop to think about the implications of what they were singing. And they broke up quite soon, so it is not a problem for me. Today, David Matásek is a very intelligent person. From what I hear, he is full of praise for us Romani actors.
The play, which has been in the pipeline for months, could not have come at a better time. Several incidents of racially motivated violence in the north have sparked anti-Romani protests, street demonstrations and debates about the problems of coexistence. Vojtěch Lavička says that the crisis does not surprise him.
You know, it was not hard to predict this. The social situation is deteriorating. People are out of work, short of money, worried about the future. And at a time like this, it is natural they should look around for someone else to put the blame on. Romanis are an easy target. They already have a bad reputation, so it is easy for people to point a finger and say, it's all their fault. I think that this is behind the unrest in Szluknov, Rumburk and Varnsdorf. People need to lay the blame on someone, and they found a scapegoat in the Roma.
Lidé se špatně hledají viníka, našli ho v Romech. The play's authors say they do not intend to offer quick and easy solutions. They just want to make the audience think about the reasons why many otherwise tolerant members of society believe that the Roma minority is hard to educate or even generally less intelligent, why 70% of Roma children attend special schools, and why most ethnic Czechs feel afraid when they find themselves in the company of a group of Roma. Moving on now to something entirely different. Visitors to the West Bohemian spa town of Karlovy Vary might find themselves slightly at a loss, especially if they're not familiar with the Cyrillic alphabet. Signs providing directions, ads and even menus are in Russian. Newsstands offer a wide variety of Russian language newspapers. The sound of Russian echoes in the streets, and signs in Russian are so prominent that they might leave visitors wondering whether they hadn't ended up in the wrong country. The West Bohemian spa town, once favoured by the Russian Tsar Peter the Great, has become a mecca for Russian investors and summer visitors. The Russian Nouveau Riche have bought houses and opened businesses in Karlovy Vary, where they spend at least part of the year. The spa town now has over 3,500 permanent Russian-speaking residents, and tens of thousands more arrive every summer to take the cure, attend the Karlovy Vary Film Festival, or simply spend time with friends. There are Russian-owned hotels, restaurants, fitness clubs, and a wide range of other services ready to cater to their needs. While initially the locals cracked jokes about the Russian invasion of their hometown, it now appears that their patience with the ever-present signs in Cyrillic is running thin. Jan Kopal is the town hall spokesman.
We've been receiving complaints from the locals who are unhappy about the fact that the town is plastered with foreign language ads and signs, particularly in Russian.
The issue was widely debated in the local paper, and the town hall decided to act, demanding a regulation that would make it compulsory to feature a Czech language version of all foreign signs. The town's mayor says this seems like a logical request.
What we would like to see is for the signs and ads to appear primarily in the Czech language. And then, of course, whatever other foreign language is required.
The town hall has proposed a change of legislation which would make it compulsory to feature signs in Czech along all foreign language signs, so that the locals who do not read Russian or understand German do not feel like foreigners in their own hometown. Top 09 Lower House Deputy Rudolf Chlap has backed the cause and thrown his weight behind a bill which would make it compulsory for a Czech version of all signs and adverts to be featured in letters as big as the original text. He says that the bill, which is soon to be debated by the Lower House, is similar to legislation adopted in many other European states. Alexei Ruzhennikov, who represents the Russian minority in Karlovy Vary, says that whatever the outcome of the vote, the Cyrillic signs must stay put.
The signs in Russian must be allowed to remain. This is about business and enterprise, and it is only natural that entrepreneurs want to attract as many clients as possible, especially at a time when business is slow.
This is a strong argument. The town's Russian entrepreneurs are not targeting the locals. They are tailoring their businesses to rich Russian residents and visitors who appreciate an invitation or menu in their own language. If Russian entrepreneurs in Karlovy Vary choose to feature a second language version, it tends to be English rather than Czech. If Parliament approves the proposed measure, late this year or early next year, entrepreneurs will have a strong motivation to feature Czech signs as well, a fine of up to 5 million crowns. And finally, two Czech politicians made headlines this week. The Czech foreign minister, when he was caught napping during a security conference in Serbia, and Social Democrat deputy Jiří Krátký, when he told the Czech lower house he was against extending a parliament debate late into the night because only whores and thieves worked at this time. While no one dared to challenge or even wake the Czech foreign minister in Belgrade, Deputy Krátký got a sound lecture from the prime minister in parliament, reprimanding a man whom he called a lazy boar. Addressing the house, the prime minister reminded him of the hundreds of thousands of people who work evening and night shifts in hospitals, factories and the transport sector. All things considered, Deputy Krátký would have done less damage had he kept his mouth shut and taken a late evening nap. A look at the lighter side of Czech politics there, though it is no laughing matter for the deputy in question, who has been called before a disciplinary committee to answer for his behaviour in the lower house. Of course, that story has now been pushed out of the limelight by that of the finance minister slapping a young man in the street. No end of surprises in Czech politics, as you see. Well, let's leave it there now in favour of another Czech lesson. Today's edition of Soundcheck is with Christian Farby.
Welcome to Soundcheck. Have you ever heard any Czech renditions of popular Western songs? Their lyrics usually bear no resemblance whatsoever to the original, except that the Czech is sometimes made to rhyme with the English for some reason. That's the case in this version of Tina Turner's Simply the Best by Český Pokondr, in which Simply the Best becomes Chcípnul tu pes, the dog has died. The dog died here, they sing. Yesterday, last year, tomorrow, and today. Every evening the concert hall's empty. Pack it up for tonight. The concert in question is apparently so incredibly boring that it poses a lethal threat to canines. And if this song is an example, then I, for one, am not the least bit surprised. That's the sense of the phrase, at least, Tady chcípnul pes. The dog died here, or, better translated, he snuffed it. It was too boring for him. I first came across the phrase Tady chcípnul pes naturally when sitting around with a friend in his small village, bored to death. Why don't we go to the pub? I offered. Because there is no pub here, he replied. And in response to my disbelief that there was a village in the Czech Republic without a pub, he said, dejected, the dog died here. Sure, you can say verbatim that you're dying of boredom in Czech as well by saying umiram nudo or even unudim se, but that's rather boring in itself, isn't it? There's a much better way in Czech to stay busy while dying of boredom, ukošu se nudo, I'm going to bite myself to death. What you might notice in all of these phrases is the clever prefix u, which means to do something to the very end, in many cases the ultimate end. Nudit se means to be bored, unudit se, to die from being bored. Kosat means to bite, kosat se, to bite oneself, and ukosat se, to bite and bite and bite until, alas, you die. Why is being bored a two-word phrase, nudit se? Because, interestingly, you can only bore yourself in Czech. That's that reflective se you may know from other European languages. Literally speaking, by stating you're bored, you're also assuming responsibility for it. Better to blame it on the outside force that killed the dog, for instance, or with the rather cute phrase, Tady dávají lišky dobrou noc, literally, the foxes give good nights here, which means there's nothing going on here. You found yourself in such an armpit of the world that there is no one to talk to you, and only foxes are left to tell you good night. Well, on Radio Prague, there is always someone to talk to you, and I hope I haven't bored you or your four-legged friend to death with this soundcheck. From me, Christian Falvey, Nasledanou.
And that edition of Soundcheck brings us to the end of today's programme. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. This is Daniela Lazarova saying thanks for listening and do join us again sometime soon.